good to be with my family. Looking forward to diving into the Word of God today. We have started a series on prayer, and the title of the series is Teach Us to Pray. And last week, I thought they did a great job of really getting things started. Honestly, I wanted to kind of recognize that our sermon series that we offer, I don't come up with all of them myself. We have a team of people, and the folks that put this series together were Nick Dickshaw, and Melanie Sertia, and Ashley Reese.
Actually, teamed up to put this one together. And we all work together and give our input, but they kind of took the lead. So I just wanted to acknowledge that, you know, before you, that it's a team effort with most of the things that we do here at North River. So the title of the series is Teach Us to Pray, and we're trying to use the Lord's Prayer as kind of the model, and we're going to use all our messages really focusing in on different aspects of the Lord's Prayer. So I'm waiting for the slides to go, but you know, if they come, cool. If they don't, that's cool too. You know what I mean? There we go. All right, there we go. So last week I wasn't here because I was in Turkey, and I was in these places. I was able to go on a trip with Douglas Jacoby and some others, and it was really encouraging. It was a seminar on Paul and Peter and their travels throughout kind of this part of the world. And so it was a really powerful experience. I was really grateful to go to some places that really I'd never been before. Got to see some stuff in real life. There's a mosaic there in a home that they uncovered. In the middle, that's supposedly where Barnabas is buried. And I don't know why they're upside down and sideways, whatever. But on the right, there's a spot there. That was in Tarsus. I got some food in Tarsus and had some lamb and some good stuff. Great people there in Tarsus where the Apostle Paul is from. And so hopefully these will show up right. No, they didn't. And that's awesome. On mine, it's straight up. It's so weird. Mine, it looked regular up there. I don't know, whatever happened. But I even got to meet some people that I actually have books of these people. Like that guy, John Walton, was on the trip. I got to, you know, say hello to him. This other guy. Oh, that did show up the way it is. That guy's David Da Silva. He's actually a fellow Princeton alum, so me, him, and John Haynes hung out a lot. And I have that book. I read that. So, I mean, it was just a cool experience. But that's where I was last week, and it's inspiring me because in October of 2027, we have a group of us that are going to be going to the seven churches of Revelation. And we announced that we announced it like 6 months ago or something. 42 people have signed up for it. There's a room for 48. So we will be going over to that part of the world October of 2027. So if you're interested, you can get all that info on our website. But amen. So there's the kind of update of where I have been learning and growing in my faith. And so we are going to dive into the Lord's Prayer a little bit more. So let us pray. Our Father, we come to you desiring to be attentive to who you are, to where you are, and to how much you love us, as a father loves his children. Father, we pray that we can not just be focused only on ourselves, but that we can have a others-centered approach to life as well. Father, I know I was out of town, but I have heard that Alex Fowler lost his father. And I wanted to pray for Alex and his family. And I pray that he can feel your love and support during a tough time. Also, my understanding that Carissa lost a stepfather. And so I know a lot is going on. I pray for Carissa's heart and for her to receive the love from the body. And I pray that on this day that when we celebrate you, we celebrate our earthly fathers, that we remember those around us who may need a hug and just may need a listening ear
And may we be able to offer all of that to one another. So, Lord, I pray that that this series of sermons, that we don't just learn how to recite a prayer, but we actually are transformed into the people you desire us to be. And that's the prayer I offer this morning, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. All right, so our Father in the heavens, that is the phrase that I have for us today. The whole sermon is going to be on those five English words. And hopefully we will learn some things and grow in our faith as we look at our Father in the heavens. Now, first of all, the first word, our. Why not my Father? That is something that we typically do in our society. We kind of center ourselves as the center of all things in the universe. And I appreciate Nick's message last week. And he reminds us that, you know, Jesus wasn't just offering a prayer to just recite or memorize, but he was actually inviting us into living out the prayer. That these words have power to transform us into the people of God. Sure, there's always an individual aspect of what's going on in the faith, but we tend to lean deeply into the individual and kind of forget about the collective aspect of the faith. The word our is really important and should not be overlooked in this prayer. So I'm inviting you to really submit this time that we go through this prayer, submit to this time and allow it to transform and reorient the way that you look at things. That's the power of this prayer if we allow it. And that word our should really be something that we really focus on, that it's not just you as an individual that God cares about. God's concerned about all of his children, all of us. And so that first word can reorient everything if we allow it. In other words, when we get to that part of the prayer, and I'm not stealing the thunder, but think about it. When you get to that part of the prayer, when we talk about, right, like, hey, give us today our daily bread, it's hard to pray that prayer and think about somebody that doesn't have bread. Do you know what I'm saying? Because you might have all you need in your cupboard, so to speak. But what about those that don't have? And it reorients the way we view reality if we don't just skip over that word, our. That word has huge meaning if we allow it. This prayer can transform all of us. The whole prayer is in the plural. And it confronts that pride that we have, that spiritual hierarchy. Because you know what? I don't care if you are wealthy, and you might be the wealthiest person in this room, but once you pray this prayer, you are on the same ground as the poorest person in this room. Our Father. It don't matter. You got a college degree or you've dropped out, doesn't matter. Our Father. God cares about all of us. And we need to be reminded of that. And it also reminds us that, you know, Jesus came to create a family of people. This is just not a group of individuals trying to be changed. And I think that's a way we can often view even reality, even our current situation. So often we just go, yeah, I mean, as long as I get right with God and then I go out and help one individual person, if I can just get to a bunch of individuals, then we can change the world. And this thinking is not what Jesus is getting at. We need to be together as God's people, okay? Because let me help you with something. The powers and principalities that oppose us, they got their act together. They ain't a bunch of individuals just individually trying to mess with individuals. But see, that's how we have bought into the over-individualization of the faith. We need to have a radical dependence on each other. A sense of solidarity, a sibling solidarity. That's what Jesus is offering us and inviting us to, instead of a bunch of individuals trying to change individual stuff in the world so that you can just stay in your little lane and don't worry about whatever everybody else is going on. We need to be together to deal with the stuff out there, because trust me, those powers and principalities out there are working together. Jesus is teaching us about being a part of a family. It's our Father. It's our inheritance. It's our identity. It's our belonging in a family. He is creating something new. And we need to allow the first word in that prayer to actually mean something. Let us care about our fellow person, not just ourselves. And it's beautiful when we come together. We're actually trying to do a prayer night where we come together. And we're going to actually do that next month. Put it in your calendars. July 17th. Last time I checked, that's like a month in advance. You understand what I'm saying? This ain't last minute, y'all. We getting better. We want to come together. I think our night of lament was a time to come together, right? Not just be an individual Christian. And so hopefully you can put that on your calendar for July 17th, where we come and pray together. Our Father. You know, it's at this point in the message where I think it's important for us to remember that Jesus was Jewish, okay? He was teaching fellow Jewish people about how to pray to the Jewish, right, concept of God, Yahweh, right? So it's helpful to remember this at this moment in the prayer, because I do believe our Father, typically so many of us can immediately hyperlink to our earthly fathers and the relationship we had or didn't have with our own earthly fathers. And I just want to insert in this moment, I don't think that's necessarily what happened to these people. In other words, I believe that there is also the ability to think about this moment, a Jewish rabbi teaching his disciples about how to pray, that they are thinking about scripture. They are thinking in that, they're in that lane, they're in that mindset. And so when Jesus is offering this invitation to pray, to say, our Father, I don't think they immediately just went to their own dads. I think they may have gone to when in the scriptures was God a father? And we could argue Genesis 1, well, God made in our, you know, make them in our image, but that doesn't necessarily use father language. But do you remember when God's people were enslaved in Egypt? And do you remember they cried out because they were treated harshly? And do you remember that that God heard their cries? And he rose up a man named Moses to go confront Pharaoh. And in Exodus 4, then say to Pharaoh, this is what the Lord says, Israel is my firstborn son. And I told you, let my son go so he may worship me. This is the first kind of scriptural moment where there's this, whoa, God as father? Wait a minute, you mean God is not like these other gods that get annoyed with humans? Some of these other stories about where the gods, you got some interesting characters. The gods are annoyed at people, you know, tired of the noise that they make. Or the gods are, hey, you need to hurry up and sacrifice to me and placate me so that everything will go great. That was the nature of who the gods were oftentimes. But the God of the Jewish people, of Israel, this is a different God. He's treating them like a child. Like, this is my child. You're mistreating my child. Man, I remember somebody, one of them boys in the neighborhood, I remember one time when it was in my neighborhood playing some stuff in the backyard. I got, you know, the boy come up here, tackle one of my kids. knocked him to the ground. Man, I went out in the backyard. I looked at the kid about this tall. I didn't care. I said, don't you ever do that, you know, to my child. You know, that kid was, he had his little cell phone. He called his mom and stuff like, I don't care. Tell your mom to come over here. Tell your daddy, tell your whole family to come up here. But you ain't treat my kid like that in my house. Hey, God wasn't messing around. So I'm just trying to help all of us. Don't hyperlink to your earthly dad so fast. I don't think that was the concept that Jesus was inviting us to when he said our father. We all have interest. I mean, I didn't know my father that well. I have no ill feelings toward my dad, but I mean, as a younger man, I was confused. He was kind of absent. You know, I didn't, birthdays come by, no call, no card. What is that? What do you do with that? I don't know, but I'm 54 now. I've worked it out. You know what I'm saying? He did what he could. You know what I mean? I ain't got no bitterness, but that's not who we're supposed to be thinking about when we think of God. If anything, we should remember this moment. It's when life's circumstances stink, when you're hurting, when it seems like there's no way out. It's this moment where God intervenes and says, no, I'm going to do something about it. Because I hear your cries, and I care, and I'm with you, and I'm going to do something about it. I have concern for you. I'm compassionate toward your situation. Let that be what you think about when that father word comes into the prayer, and not just your own father. And I know Ashley, I think, sent this to us. I hope this works. If it does, amen. If it doesn't, it's praise God if it does. But Ashley resent this to us in our kind of text thread, and I think some of the younger folks may have already seen it. But I think this is a helpful concept when it comes to this concept of God as Father. We'll see if it works. No, it didn't. And there you go. Let's see if this works. Maybe it'll work. I don't know. Maybe it won't.
Five daughters. He's number three. And
no, doesn't work.
So I just flew in from Orlando. She flew in from San Francisco. We met.
Technology is not my friend today, but amen. I encourage you to look up the Francis Chan with his daughter link on YouTube. But I think it's worth it. I think that picture really does sum it up. He's basically describing the fact that that's his, like, he's got like four or five daughters or something. And they hadn't seen each other in a while, and they were flying in from different places and met up at this event. So he was just saying, man, I was really thinking about seeing my daughter because I hadn't seen her in a while. And I was just giddy about seeing her, you know? And so they got to connect on stage. They were teaching, I guess, the class together. And then he held her and he asked the question at this moment in the video. And he said, is this what your prayer life looks like? When you pray to your father, does it feel like this? You know, and I think that is something that hopefully, no matter what happened with any earthly father, let's let the our father language kind of catapult us into the God who intervenes, who cares, who's compassionate, who wants to know what's going on in your life, and who wants to wrap you close to in his arms. Let the prayer transform the way you view who God is. Because if you sincerely feel that that's how God feels about you, can't wait to spend time with you, then it can change everything. And this prayer is not just something, again, you recite, but it can be a moment where you embrace this moment and this concept.
I have five daughters.
The last part, in the heavens. Jeff, you're messing up the prayer. Don't you know it's who art in heaven? That's how I learned it, and that's what's wrong with the world today. You throw out our traditions. What's wrong with the good King James? Our Father who art in heaven. That's what it's supposed to be. Look here, I ain't never been around nobody that used the word art.
Jeff, where's Cletus? Oh, he art in the lighthouse. I was wondering where he was. Yeah, he art up there. We don't use art like that. It was used that way at a certain time. Amen. But when you say stuff like that, that don't even make dying and all that, it's like you just, the repetition and the familiarity, you just sail on by. It's like the words don't matter anymore. Why use a word you don't even use? So I'm just pushing against that. It's not who art in the heaven. It's who art in heaven. That's how I taught. I was how I learned. Our Father who art in heaven. Okay, well, what does that mean? That means he is far away in the place that good people go after they die. If you're not careful, that's what you are really thinking as you pray. If you even are thinking, because you've said it so many times. Our Father who art in heaven. Okay, our Father who's in the place I can't see, but I know it's there pretty much. You know, it's just where the good people go. Okay. But that's not what Jesus is teaching at all. Like, really, that's not what he's teaching. Yes, it's our Father who is in the heavens. And just so you know, in Hebrew, which is the predominant language of the Old Testament, in Greek, predominant language of the New Testament, the word for heaven is always plural. It's a plural word. Heavens. Right? And many scholars will teach this. I don't have time to get into it. We can do a whole sermon series on the way they viewed the world and how it worked. But, you know, God created the heavens and the earth, right? The earth, they had that figured out. That's where our feet are. Cool. That's how they kind of viewed the world. This is the earth. Now, the heavens, you got kind of the part of the heavens where, like, bees fly and birds fly. Like, you can kind of relate to it a little bit. There's that level of kind of the heavens or the skies. Right, but then there's up way up there, like, wow, the sun, at daytime you got clouds, then at night you got these bright lights and moon stars. That was the heavens too. And then there was the highest heavens, and that's where God was, overseeing it all. And that's kind of the way they made sense of their world. And so when Paul says, I was caught up in the third heaven, he doesn't have to explain it, because in his worldview, they understood what that meant. He's beyond what we can see. He was in a place where God kind of is overseeing everything. And so when he writes in the heavens, when Jesus says in the heavens, I think he's trying to change the way we view the world again. He's inviting us to understand God isn't far away and distant waiting for you to die. That's not what he's saying. He's saying God, who created all this, he's as close as the breath you just breathed. He's all up in the heavens, the skies. He's everywhere. He's not art somewhere off. He's here. He's everywhere. I talked about the first time when Israel, God says that firstborn language, right? Where he raises up Moses and they get liberated and you go, amen, right? And then God's trying to usher them where he wants them to go, but they're so daggum disobedient. And so then they got to go into the wilderness. In Deuteronomy 32, Moses kind of sings a song, and he talks about how God comes to care for his people even in the wilderness. And he calls them the apple of his eye. And just so you know, that word, that word, Ishan, is a word for little man. Little man mean? What does even apple of the eye mean? And what it seems like it means in this poetic way, it's like if you were to stand so close to somebody else, like this much, and you looked in their pupil, in their eye, you know how you could see yourself? You could see the little man. The Ishan. Ish is the word for man. You can see that look. That's how close God cares about you. He's that close. He's not art somewhere off. He's right there. He's concerned. He's in your life. But the problem is, we just kind of go through life and don't really take the time to really acknowledge where God might show up. And some of us, we don't even expect God to show up in our lives, in our daily lives. And I think that's what Jesus invites us to. We have a God who is right here with us, as close as the little, you can see the little man in the eye. He's so close. But we have to wake up and expect God to show up. And I hope that as a people, we can be the type of people that can pray prayers expecting God to show up. And not just be reciting stuff and just have knowledge about stuff. But God is among us. He can do things. Excuse me. I remember I was, a couple weeks ago, obviously, had a great moment in life. Hannah, getting married. And, my good friends were kind of teasing me a little bit. And they were like, before the wedding, they're like, I wonder if Jeff will even cry, he's so laid back, or maybe he'll cry when and then another person's like, no, he'll cry, Maybe when he walks down the aisle, and then another person's like, nah. And so they were just being funny, and it was cool. We were laughing. But it did start to get in my head. I'm like, what if, when will I cry? And I'm thinking about this, right? Because I am typically kind of relatively laid back dude. And I'm also the kind of guy that doesn't, it takes me a day or two sometimes to process what I was feeling. I'm not that person that can just feel it, say it. That's not typically me. I kind of go away and then I kind of process and then I kind of figure it out. And so I'm thinking about this. We go off, the wedding was like an hour and a half away, and we got there like on Thursday. And so I had a lot of time to reflect, and I was like, God, I don't want to have to wait 2 or 3 days to feel present at the wedding. And I don't want to perform for anybody else. I don't care. I don't want to be thinking about, is Jeff going to cry? I don't want to think about that either. God, I just want to, please help me. I can't do this on my own. Can you just help me to experience everything in the moment? Like to the fullest, God. I know that's not my strength. I know that's not my normal. And I'm telling you, I can't tell you how many different ways and different times I prayed this. Prayer. Just be present. Please give it to me, God. And the day of, I was the wedding's like at 6 o'clock. Even that morning, I'm still praying to just experience it. And I had a breakthrough and with Psalm 16 and thinking about the boundary lines falling for me in pleasant places. And I'm like, hey, man, this is a day to celebrate. This is a day to be grateful. I'm getting my suit on. I'm fired up. People are telling me where to go. I don't have to be in charge. Amen. You know what I mean? Like, they say, all right, Jeff, we're going to take you to the daddy-daughter reveal. I didn't even know there was a daddy-daughter reveal. I didn't even know that was a thing. And they're like, okay, you need to stand right here. You know what I mean? And she'll come up and tap you on the shoulder. And so I'm just standing there in this garden, just waiting, And she taps me on the shoulder, And I mean, I was completely, oh man, it didn't show up. Man, I got a picture of my daughter right here. Wow. I'm telling you, bro, this is a technology day. But man, when I saw her, I lost it all. It was immediate. Just weeping. Tears of joy. Just and gratitude. And then after that moment kind of, I thanked God. He is not art in heaven waiting for me later. He was in the garden. He was right there with me and Anna. He was helping me to see him show up to help me be somebody that I really wanted to be in that moment. There it is. And I'm serious, guys. I thanked God that whole day. Wes was happy, Chrissy's happy, the mom, everybody. And at some point in the ceremony, I just walked out and I just looked at the scenery and I just thanked God. And I'm telling you, everybody, he was right there. I experienced God, the presence of God, in that moment. Our Father is in the heavens. Yes, he's above us and beyond us, but he's right here too. We, as his children, need to be the ones who are so enamored with him that we see when he shows up and we respond with gratitude to the world. This is who God is, not some caricature that you make up because of a bad experience you had somewhere else. This is who God is. He's our Father in the heavens right here and right now. I just pray that this prayer can not just be something we do, but something that transforms us. We're going to take the Lord's Supper together. Let's pray. Father, I just grateful to call you Father. You care about all of us. You love us. You know that we are unable to figure this life out, but you sent Jesus to save us, to rescue us, to liberate us, and to be among us, Emmanuel, to be with us. And he died for us. You raised him from the dead, and he's still among us. Yes, he's at your right hand, but he's also among us through his power of his Spirit. So beautiful. We celebrate all of that right now. That is our worldview. That is how we see reality. You as our Father, here among us. And the way we know that most powerfully is through the life of Jesus. He died on that cross, and we take this bread, and we remember his body hanging on that cross. He actually shed his blood. And we drink this in remembrance of him, in celebration. It's a sober celebration, but it's a celebration because we know, Father, whew, you are among us now, and one day you will come again, and it will be glorious. Amen. And we pray all this in the name of Jesus. Amen.